Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Not only more mosquitoes buzzing around in Michigan this summer, but some are bigger and tougher, too. To talk about just how much of a nuisance mosquitoes are being this summer, I'm joined by Dr. Mike Kaufman. He's a Michigan State University entomologist. Thank you for joining me, Mike.
Thank you for having me.
Now, it seems that mosquitoes are everywhere this summer. Has the weather been somehow ideal for their breeding?
I'd say so, particularly for the ones that are bothering me and you and almost everybody else around here. It's a perfect combination of warm weather and very heavy rains that have intermittently hit us throughout the summer.
Now, apparently there's a particular strain of mosquitoes that have made a relatively rare appearance this year. Can you explain how they're different than the typical ones we see?
Sure, they're big. They're much bigger. They're at least twice as large as most of the other mosquitoes, and they're the largest species that we have in Michigan, and I think it's the largest one in the United States, if I'm not mistaken. It tends to be more noticeable because it's large, and it's also very aggressive. It'll pursue you during the day, which, frankly, a lot of the other ones are doing now, too, but you tend to notice it more. It inflicts a little bit more of a painful bite because it has a bigger proboscis, the thing that they stick into you to suck out the blood.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's actually a striking looking mosquito because it has striped legs, and it's I wouldn't say colorful, but you notice it more than your typical drab looking brownish mosquito.
Now, why is it that they don't appear every year?
Yeah, so it's a fairly uncommon one, but it takes all the right type of flooding conditions and other things to get them going. So we've had pretty heavy rains that have induced some of these summer floodwater mosquitoes to come out. And actually, this mosquito, as larvae, when they're in the larval stage, they feed on the other mosquitoes. So there's this interesting little cycle about not only do they have to hatch under the right conditions, but there has to be these other mosquitoes around for them to feed on. So I think that's one of the reasons we're seeing a little bit more of them this year.
While malaria isn't a concern here in Michigan, are there any real health concerns or diseases that a mosquito can pass through a bite?
Sure. Unfortunately, the large mosquito that we just talked about isn't thought to be a vector of any of these diseases, but we still have West Nile in the state, particularly in the Detroit area, southeast Michigan. We have eastern equine encephalitis, which tends to be concentrated in areas of the southwest Michigan, and they're vectored by different mosquito species. And we have a couple of other ones that are relatively minor, like La Crosse encephalitis and St. Louis encephalitis, that are transmitted by mosquitoes.
How common is it that a mosquito bite could result in actually getting a virus?
Very good question. I don't think anybody knows for sure, but it would be fairly uncommon for a mosquito to actually be carrying around enough virus to infect you with a disease causing amount. It's thought actually that if you reach the stage where 4 out of 1,000 mosquitoes are carrying the virus, then that's a really serious potential epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't take very many, and the risk of any single mosquito infecting you with one of these agents is fairly low, but are you going to take that risk?
And how does it work? I mean, do they bite one person and then another, and are they able to pass a disease that way?
Right. No, that's another good question. For most of these diseases, it's a mosquito has to bite a bird first. For West Nile and Triple E, eastern equine encephalitis, the virus is first amplified in bird hosts. The mosquito has to feed upon a bird and then bite a human. There's no evidence that a mosquito can feed upon an infected human or any other mammal, for example, in West Nile and Triple E, and pass it on to another host. But it is complicated, like you said. It has to get going in the bird population first, and then a single mosquito has to pick it up from a bird, transfer it to a human.
I'm talking to Dr. Mike Kaufman. He's a Michigan State University entomologist. Mike, is there an effective municipal effort in Lansing and statewide to reduce the number of mosquitoes that are out there?
I'm not aware of any concentrated effort in the Lansing area for mosquito control. Not sure if there was one in the distant past. The only permanent mosquito abatement districts and mosquito control districts are in the Thumb area of Michigan. Saginaw, Bay County, Tuscola County, and Midland County have their own mosquito control agencies right there. Mm-hmm. Anything in the Lansing area, even in the Detroit and Southwest Michigan, most of the control is either contracted with pest control companies, or on occasion the health departments there or the city managers or whatever will do some treatment. But there's no, as far as I know anyway, there's certainly no concentrated effort in the Lansing area.
Should there be mosquito spraying trucks deployed, or do you think in general the mosquito problems in this area are not necessarily of that serious of a nature?
My personal opinion is that we probably don't need it on a general basis around here. There's not been demonstrated enough of a health risk in this particular area to warrant blanket spraying. I think this has to be an issue that if enough people get fed up, then they can band together perhaps and suggest that the city or somebody needs to come up with a method to pay for this spraying.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I mean, my personal opinion is that it's probably not warranted yet.
So other than sucking our blood, do mosquitoes serve any significant role in the insect world, or would the food chain be just as well off without them?
We get this question a lot, actually, in terms of, if you removed all the mosquitoes from the world, would things come crashing down? And the best guess is from people like myself and others who study them is that it probably wouldn't be you probably wouldn't notice a huge difference. There, some people who think that bats and some birds rely upon mosquitoes for their sustenance, but actually bats in particular are feeding on lots of other insects. There are lots of other insects that would come up to take the place of the mosquitoes if they were eliminated. Again, it's not clear. I guess it'd be an interesting experiment to see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, we don't know. It's hard to come up with an essential role of these things in the ecosystem other than, how they serve as population controls for other animals, right, by vectoring diseases. I think that's their biggest role.
Now, insects can be annoying in general, but one that literally sucks our blood, that's somewhat disturbing. Is that the mosquito's primary food source?
As an adult, for adult females, it is, and many of the adult females need a blood meal. The reason they take a blood meal is that they need to extract the nutrients to form eggs and move on to the next generation. But actually, most of the nutrition for that body of a mosquito, if you just pick a mosquito out of the air, most of the nutrition for that mosquito came from what the larvae ate, or the larvae or eating in their environment there. So they grow, most of the biomass that they put on, most of the weight that they put on, comes in the larval stage.
Now, mosquitoes might be a nuisance here, but they can be downright deadly in Africa. Why are these insects so difficult to completely wipe out?
Right, because they're fairly adaptable, and I guess efforts, concentrated efforts to wipe them out in some areas, require a fair amount of money. You might note, maybe your listeners don't know this, but malaria was fairly common in Michigan up until the early parts of this century. I mean, Michigan was actually known as a really high malarial area in the 1800s, in the late 1800s. A certain percentage of, a high percentage of people had it then. So it's been present, the disease has been present here, and one of the reasons that it no longer is an issue is because of the drainage of some of the habitats for the vector. Things as simple as having window screens, the advent of window screens and air conditioners where you just don't give them the opportunity to come into your house and feed during the evening. These things are not, things as, again, as simple as window screens are just not, you don't see that every day or on the dwellings that you visit in Africa. And I've been there to see these things. So it is a little bit, well, it's more than a little bit, a matter of economics and poverty.
Michigan State University entomologist Mike Kaufman, thank you for joining me, Mike.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
We'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.